Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's talk to Thomas Jefferson. He's the third president of the United States. See if we can find him out there. Mr. Jefferson, are you there? Calling TJ.
Yes, I'm here at Monticello. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy birthday. No, wait. When were you born, Thomas Jefferson?
I was born on April 13th, according to the new calendar, April 2nd, according to the old one. Mm-hmm. So this was 1743, so a couple of months from now.
I don't know if you'll be able to answer this question, but one of our Mega Pros trivia questions for presidential trivia today is two presidents died on the 4th of July. And oh, no, actually three did, but you only have to name two. Can you name two of the three presidents who died on the 4th of July?
Well, I'm one of them, of course, but the other two are James Monroe and John Adams.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. is that old story true that Adams wanted to beat you to the finish? Or no, he wanted to live longer than you. Is that how the story goes?
Well, it's not even clear what he said, but my last words on the 4th of July were, "Is it the 4th?" I had been moving in and out of a coma for several days. And then about 5 hours later, up in Massachusetts, John Adams died at the age of 91. His last words were, "Thomas Jefferson still survives." What tone he was using, I don't know.
Oh, in other words, was he asking or was he damning the fact that you outlasted him?
You know, it's tempting to think that it was envy, because he was envious of all of the other founding fathers, especially George Washington. But it may have just have been, you know, our friendship had been restored by a long series of wonderful letters that we exchanged. And perhaps he just was musing that after all this, his younger companion from the Declaration of Independence was still alive somewhere.
But didn't he not want the 4th of July to be the date of our independence anyway?
Yes, he thought it should be the 2nd of July, because that's the date that the Second Continental Congress actually declared independence. That was when the resolution was finally passed. And then 2 days later, my Declaration of Independence was unanimously adopted, and that became the date. But Adams had written a letter to his wife, Abigail, saying, "From now on, through all of human history, the 2nd of July will be a day of fireworks and orations and parades and speeches and festivals." So he was right about the celebration, just wrong about the date.
You and I have a date scheduled. I don't know if you know this, but we're going to invite you back to Chicago to appear on stage with me, and hopefully we can do this. But we're hoping that the Saturday of Halloween weekend, so not until October, but hopefully you and I can share a stage and talk to people in October of this year.
So the yellow fever epidemic will be over by then.
I think it's not a bad idea to remind people that while this pandemic seems extraordinary, in fact, you told us once upon a time that the Founding Fathers went through something very much like this, right?
Oh, much, much worse, sir, although more localized. In 1793, the yellow fever epidemic in Philadelphia, where the government of the United States was then stationed, carried off 1 in 10 people. You know, I think your mortality rate is under 1%. The mortality rate of the yellow fever epidemic was 1 in 10, so 5,000 people in Philadelphia died, in spite of all the work that Dr. Benjamin Rush did to try to save them.
Oh, is he the Fauci of your day?
that's an excellent analogy. He was, although he didn't have your Fauci's expertise. We were still in the dark. We didn't understand virus. We didn't understand germs. We didn't really even understand how infectious diseases work. He was a brilliant man and certainly gave his best energies to try to make people better, or at least to palliate their conditions. But he was sort of knocking at the door that maybe it had something to do with the mosquito, but he never quite reached that conclusion.
Did they tell you guys to wear face masks then?
Oh, yes, we did all the right things. You know, all societies dating back to the great plague of ancient Athens in the 5th century B.C. have effectively used the same techniques, sir. Social distancing, although we didn't use that term, masks, the ending of shaking of hands, quarantining in one form or another. And in Philadelphia, the houses that were especially infected would have a red cross actually painted on their front door as a sign for others to stay away.
It's President's Day, so I thought maybe you could give our listener a hand. We have one of our callers on the line, and we're going to ask a series of presidential trivia questions, and maybe you could give them an assist. Is that okay with you, Mr. Jefferson?
Well, I was hoping to win, and then maybe you would pay off the debts that I have at Monticello, but yes, I will assist.
How much, when you died, were you in debt to? How much did you owe?
By our currency, $104,000, which would be about $8 million in yours.
Should have written a book, man. You come out with a book, boom. Barack Obama, Donald Trump, any of them, Bill Clinton, they get $8 million just for signing the deal.
A gentleman would not do such a thing. I printed a book, my own book, Notes on the State of Virginia, but I would not have published it because a gentleman, and certainly no former president, would debase himself by publishing for profit.
Boy, think of the stories you could have told. I mean, think of the question marks that hang over Thomas Jefferson. If you would have dished, wow, that thing would have, you would have sold a lot of copies, sir.
I don't know what dished means. For me, that means putting a plate of peas in front of an honored guest.
It's not what it means now. Let's talk to Tracy. You're on WGN. Tracy, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
Good. Thanks for listening to this. Thomas Jefferson's on a phone line. Say hello to the third president of the United States, Tracy.
Hello, President Jefferson.
Tracy, I would not have called you by your first name during my lifetime, so I'm going to call you Mrs. Tracy.
That's fine.
Really? That was a matter of decorum?
Oh, yeah. We would never, under any circumstance, talk about a woman by her first name. Not even Mrs. Jefferson.
Wow. Wait till you see her ankles. Okay, let's go with question number one. Which president was the first born in the United States? Was it the first president, Washington? Was it the fifth president? I don't expect you to know who that is. Or was it the eighth president? Which was the first president to be born in the United States? Our first, our fifth, or our eighth? Tracy, what do you think?
I believe it was George Washington.
Mr. Jefferson, do you have any advice for her on that?
Well, this may be a trick question because it depends on what you mean by the United States. We didn't become a nation until July 4, 1776. I was alive. George Washington was alive. James Madison was alive. James Monroe was alive. So I'm guessing that you're going to move to the eighth because that would be born after our birth certificate.
That is correct. All of those were born in colonies. You got to get to Martin Van Buren, the eighth president, before you had one born in the United States. Not in the colonies. It was a trick question, Tracy. Sorry about that.
Oh, well.
That's okay.
We'll try again.
We're not done yet. Hold on. Name the four presidents on Mount Rushmore, Tracy.
Jefferson.
Bingo.
Roosevelt.
Yes.
Lincoln.
Yes.
And Washington.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. How about that, Mr. Jefferson? We remember you on a wall of granite.
I bought South Dakota. I can take credit, I suppose, for that, although I never traveled farther than 70 miles west of my birthplace in Virginia. And may I just say, I do not particularly appreciate spending eternity next to Theodore Roosevelt, who was a very offensive sort of person.
He sends his regards to you. Let's do this one. In which state have the most presidents been born? Which state produced the most presidents, Tracy?
I believe it is Mr. Jefferson's state, Virginia.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Congratulations, TJ.
Well, you know, we were the main state for a very long time. We were the most populous state, we were the largest state, and we were the nursery of greatness. Patrick Henry, George Washington, and James Madison, the father of the Constitution. So, yes, I think there are eight, depending on how you count, Virginia presidents, and Ohio, I believe, which was just a godforsaken territory, came in second.
It still is. But the Ohio is understood today to be the sort of place of a lot of presidents because they were the governor there. They were a senator there. They went to school there. Ohio is very much a presidential state, and it's often said it's not Ohio. It's Virginia because five of the first eight were from there, and Ohio wasn't a state yet. Let's do this one. Which university has produced the most presidents? How about that one, Tracy?
Harvard.
Where did you go to school, Mr. Jefferson?
I went to the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, but that has not produced the most presidents. I'm thinking it must be Princeton.
The correct answer is Harvard. How about that? Tracy got it right. Thomas Jefferson did not. Well done, Tracy. Sorry about that, TJ. By our count, it's five. Two Roosevelts, two Adams, and Kennedy. Barack Obama graduated from law school there, but not his undergraduate degree. So what I'm showing is five. How about this one? Thomas Jefferson, Tracy. Which president was a classically trained pianist and played four other instruments? A classically trained pianist and played four other instruments. Any idea, Tracy? It's one who you know. How about you, Mr. Jefferson?
After my time, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jefferson was quite the musician, but it's Richard Milhouse Nixon. His mom wanted him to be a pianist. Although, what instruments did you play, TJ?
I played the violin and the cello, but also I could pick out a tune on the harpsichord or the piano forte. But I don't think this Nixon was as accomplished as you say.
I'm just reading from a thing on the internet. It says here he learned to play the violin, the clarinet, the saxophone, the accordion, and his mother encouraged him to play piano at an early age. Well, all right, so I am out of time. You still get the prize, though, just for calling in and playing along. Tracy, we've got a Mega Pros hoodie for you. Elif will get the size and color, whatever you want, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. And Mr. Jefferson, would you like a Mega Pros hoodie as well?
Of course. I don't see why I shouldn't get one. I never had a hoodie.
I will visit with you again and more often and hopefully talk to you on stage, sir, in October. But thank you for sharing some of your wisdom with us today.
I look forward to seeing you, and I urge everyone to be safe and to read books.
Well, there's good advice.